Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Liberty and the Law, the podcast series that examines the critical elements of a strong legal defense in criminal cases. Join respected attorney James Doerr for this lively discussion on the rights of criminal defendants and the important role defense attorneys play in our legal system.
You know, every month here on Liberty and the Law, we take time to talk about either a specific ruling, a court case, or maybe a particular part of the law and go into detail on that. And then it's very helpful and beneficial, and hopefully we provide great information for you. And as I get to host this each month, I'm Jim Mitchell. I am joined always by James Doerr of Lavelle Law, who shares so much information. But James, if it's okay with you today, rather than talking about specific cases or rulings, I thought maybe we'd just talk about the court system in general, because I know it's important to you. Does that sound like a great place to kind of tackle today?
That's a great idea, Jim. Let's get down to some basics and some nuts and bolts between the different types of systems out there. Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay. Yeah, I had a whole bunch of questions, and I think we may end up doing this over a couple of conversations because there's a lot to cover. But let's talk about court cases in general, and we hear different terms. Start with the difference between, I guess, what would normally be called a civil suit and a criminal case, if you could kind of delineate
right.
those for us.
And the easiest way to discuss those two is to talk about the key differences. Typically, in criminal cases, you'll find what's considered crimes against the state, as they're described. It can be against an individual, like a battery case, but it's still considered a crime against the state, and is prosecuted by a state's attorney or, you know, whatever. Let's just stick with Illinois here. It would be a state's attorney's office. The elected state's attorney would be charged with prosecuting the crimes, on behalf of the people of the state of Illinois in that county. Civil case typically involves a dispute between individuals or corporations, and there would typically be, you find civil lawsuits. Again, there's arguments between individuals over legal duties and legal responsibilities, I guess you could say. It could be something like a personal injury would be a great example of a case that would be a civil lawsuit. And typically in criminal cases, and again, one of the other differences, and there's a lot of differences between the two. In criminal cases, we have the defendants have a right to a jury trial, okay, and that is because the punishment that can be leveled by the state involves jail or prison, right? Your liberty is at stake. So we safeguard those individual rights, very jealously on behalf of the defendant. And, because of that. So the jury is there. The jury system is one of those typical safeguards of our individual liberty. Civil lawsuits, the juries, it depends on the case. Sometimes you can have them. Sometimes a case can be too small for a jury trial. A judge would hear it. So, but I know we have some, you had a question about the differences between the judges and jury trials.
Jury, yeah. I do, and I want to get to that, but I was jotting down some notes here as you were talking, and you mentioned crimes against the state in terms of criminal cases. Do we assume that a criminal case is preceded then by some sort of arrest or offense in which a person is charged with what I would generally refer to as a crime? This originates from some action by a police or someone else in the state to bring charges?
Well, typically an arrest would be one of the hallmarks of a criminal case because, like I said before, your liberty is at stake. There would be an arrest. Typically people can be placed on bond while they wait for the case to be adjudicated, or they could be held in custody. So depending on the level of the crime, the arrest would dictate how somebody's treated after that. But the thing to remember with the criminal cases and being prosecuted by the state, they're prosecuting crimes that are laid out in statutes by the legislature. So these are state statutes that are passed by our representatives. So they have a lot of the citizen support behind them. So those would be laws that we should all know, at least for the most part, and expected to follow. Mm-hmm. So That's why I say that it's considered a crime against the state. The state also has the obligation to prosecute those crimes because they pass the laws on behalf of everybody. So they really prosecute on behalf of the people of the state of Illinois.
People, right. Okay. Now, I think of certain headlines, certain high-profile cases that make me ask this question, but can certain cases be tried both ways? I mean, can there be a civil claim when there's also criminal charges, or do they remain different, or there's some exclusivity there?
Right. No, absolutely, Jim. And I think one of the most famous examples would be the O.J. Simpson series of trials. When he was prosecuted for at least two murder charges, he was acquitted by the jury. And because they have a standard of proof beyond a reasonable doubt, they heard all the evidence and they decided that there was reasonable doubt with those cases. And they acquitted O.J. In the civil case, he was also sued civilly. And the standard of proof in a civil case is proof beyond a reason by the preponderance of evidence rather than beyond a reasonable doubt. So it's a far lesser standard. It's considered 50% plus one, basically. So if you get just to tip the scale just the slightest bit in your favor, that can get you a verdict in a civil case. And because of that, it's typically monetary damages people are looking for. So that's a great example of a man who had to face civil and criminal proceedings for the same action.
Interesting. Okay. So a criminal case, then let's go back to that because that's much of what you do is in your work at Lavelle Law, and you've been doing it for many years. A criminal case is going to then originate, as you said, by charges being filed and in Illinois, state's attorney bringing those charges. So can you kind of walk us through what procedurally that looks like after an arrest is made and an arraignment is held?
Sure. I mean, there's different procedures for different counties, but typically there's some commonality between the counties. An action could be a misdemeanor or it could be a felony case. Typically, they will be held in different courtrooms by different judges, and because there's a lot more at stake with the felony cases, people can be held in prison for a much longer time than they can for a misdemeanor case. Misdemeanor case typically is punishable by a maximum of 364 days in county jail and a $2,500 fine. There can be, in criminal cases, anything up to and including the death penalty for cases. So there's far more at stake in the felony cases as compared to the misdemeanor cases. And basically, when you get to start into court on those cases, the felony cases have more procedures to it. They will ask for the prosecutor will be required to put some evidence up front as to probable cause for the arrest. Okay, it's what's called a preliminary hearing that the judges will typically hold to see if there's probable cause to bring the charges and or hold the defendant in jail awaiting those charges. Misdemeanor cases, typically somebody will bond out and not have to go back or face any kind of time in jail, but they don't also, the probable cause is not really determined up front by the judge. So one of the couple basic things is, but there's a lot more, Jim.
Yeah, I know you enjoyed talking about this. We're talking with James Doerr today, and I always direct folks over to lavellelaw.com to find out more about his work, some of the articles he's written, podcasts, and videos. He's done a great deal of information there, and he enjoys sharing his knowledge with us each month on Liberty and the Law. And you sort of mentioned there, I think, if I've got my notes, that, misdemeanors and felonies go to different courts, different judges. Is this based on the charge? How do they sort of sort which goes where? And even within, let's say, all misdemeanors, do they go to different judges, different courts? Is there sort of a system that gets followed?
Right. Well, let's start with some, go back to the felony. You can have a preliminary hearing. You can also have a grand jury that will do an investigation. A prosecutor will use a grand jury. And typically when there's a finding by the grand jury of a bill of indictment or the state's attorney files a preliminary, files an indictment against the defendant, they will be assigned a court date. So the first court date will be assigned in the felony courtroom. And typically either that will be the permanent courtroom, or what can happen is the judge will assign a permanent judge for that room. So you'll, depending on the size of the county and how many cases, I mean, I've been in small counties where there's everything in one courtroom. There's traffic ticket all the way up to the most serious felony they have. And in other counties around here, typically the bigger counties, you'll find very specialized courtrooms for, you know, civil versus criminal. And criminal will break it down to a traffic court or a misdemeanor courtroom, a DUI courtroom, or a domestic violence courtroom on a misdemeanor. So they can apportion out, depending on what kind of case it is, you'll be assigned to a different courtroom. Because then you'll face a prosecutor that's assigned to prosecute that type of crime, and then you'll be in front of a judge who's very familiar with that area of law.
And so this is done then geographically. If a criminal action or perceived criminal action takes place in a particular county, then there's a county court system in which that will be heard, sort of stays within that jurisdiction.
That's right. You know, even though there's state charges, how the counties mm-hmm. prosecute those charges can vary on the size of the county. Rural prosecutions versus things in urban centers, very different crimes you're dealing with typically. So, but they handle their own prosecutions, again, by the elected state's attorney, right? So the people are involved in this process by electing their representatives. And they would determine what kind of crimes they think should be prosecuted as a priority over other crimes.
Now, you have shared with us on a number of occasions, you know, sort of best practices for a defense attorney, how you lay out a case, how you, you know, build and even think forward to a potential appeal, have your documentation, your evidence. You also just mentioned smaller counties, larger counties. As a defense attorney, you've been at this a number of years. Over time, do you get to find yourself in front of the same judges on a regular basis and dealing with the same state's attorney representatives? Do you kind of get acquainted and begin to know the differences between each?
Well, absolutely. Knowing the players in the system is always an advantage. You know, some prosecutors will have a more lenient approach, to be a little more generous on the offers they'll make on cases or how they choose to look at things, at least from my perspective. Different judges, some will be more strict than others. Some will be more law and order types. Some will be more favorable, you know, and the prosecutor would say that's more favorable to the defense attorney. So everybody's a little bit different, and it does help to know the players involved in how you bring forward a case or sometimes the timing of when you bring a case.
And just tell me with a minute or so we have left here, because I'm going to save all our conversations about appellate and Supreme Courts for another time. But just based on what you said, when you have a client, you're dealing with a client with some charges in front of them, is part of your job to sort of walk them through who the judge is, who the prosecutor is, and how to behave, answer, and do things in front of each?
It depends on the client, Jim. I mean, there's advice I need to give, and there's some advice I don't need to give. It depends on the client, what they have questions about in the system. I always encourage my clients to be as respectful as possible. You know, all the lawyers are in suits and ties, and you know, we conduct ourselves a certain way in front of the judges. And you know, the judges expect everybody to have a certain decorum in their courtroom. So simple things like that, yeah, it can go a long way how you present yourself.
Good. Well, this has been really interesting, and I want to thank you for joining us today, James, and really look forward to having some more conversation about this. James Doerr with Lavelle Law joins us, and as I said, great little introduction to court proceedings today, but let's talk about appeals, the appellate court, Supreme Court. We've got other conversations that we can squeeze that in. We invite you to be a part of this podcast each month and to kind of go back and dig through our archives. Visit lavellelaw.com. Or scroll the archives here on Blog Talk Radio. There's just dozens and dozens of past conversations, and look forward to sharing those in future discussions with you as well. Thanks, everyone, for listening today, and we'll get back to you next month. Thanks.